Welcome to Well-ish.
What does it mean to be well-ish?
Rejecting the illusion that you have to be perfect to be enough.
Embracing the messy, the real, and the in-between.
Growth without obsession.
Self-care without guilt.
Improvement without the pressure to be flawless.
Because wellness isn't about perfection. It's about showing up as you are and knowing that's already enough.
This is Well-ish.
Hello, my friends. Welcome back to another episode of Wellish, the podcast for people trying to figure out how to have a better life without pretending to have it all together. If this episode found you, it's probably because you've been struggling with feelings of not enoughness. It's probably because somebody out there made you feel like you suck in some way, shape, or form. And this isn't to say a person directly made you feel that way, but maybe society makes you feel that way, or a compilation of life events has made you feel like no matter what you do, you're not good enough. And that if you could just tweak something, if you could just do something a little bit better, then maybe you would finally step into this version of yourself that you're always picturing in your head and live the life that you truly want to live. And I think there's a lot of people that hear, okay, I'm going to stop apologizing for being X, Y, and Z, and they are the type of person that maybe is softer around the edges and stays quiet so that they don't ruffle any feathers, they don't open themselves up to judgment of other people. You're maybe people-pleasing a lot, and you're not doing what your true, genuine self wants you to do, acting how that person would act. You're acting based off of what you think will placate, is that the word? Other people, like make other people feel comfortable. But I also want to speak to the type of people that maybe have gotten past that or never were about that, and they don't shrink and they do show up, because that's me. I used to be the people pleaser. I definitely spent a good chunk of my time doing that. But then when I overcame that, I thought, okay, now that I've overcome people-pleasing and now that I care less about what other people think, then everything is going to be happy and good and dandy and everybody will like me, or at least that I won't care when people don't. Well, obviously, that's not what happens. You cannot put that power of satisfaction and peace within yourself in somebody else's hands. So I'm also talking to the people who, like me, have shown up, who have spoke up. I have always felt so deeply loved so hard and said exactly what was on my mind, almost to a fault. So there is this end of the scale that you're quieting yourself so that other people feel comfortable and other people accept you. But there's this other end of the spectrum that people try to make you feel like speaking up and saying your truth and being authentic is a bad thing. Like your strength is emasculating, or your honesty is too sharp, or your voice is something that is meant to be quieted. You don't have to say your opinion or your thoughts all of the time. But here's the thing. I will not shrink to make someone else feel big. I won't apologize for being the kind of woman who is grounded, vocal, and unwaveringly loyal. And if you've ever felt like you had to be something else in order to be loved or to be liked, this is for you. Whether you're in your healing era, you're rebuilding yourself piece by piece, you're crying into a bowl of butter noodles and still have pulled this video up and trying to put the work in on yourself, I have something for you in this episode. While Wellish isn't specifically geared towards women, that is the majority of my listeners. So today we're going to be talking about where women shrink. We're going to be talking about my list of things that I'm no longer apologizing for and explanations for why I'm no longer apologizing for those things. And I'm going to give you guys some advice for when someone makes you feel like you're too much or you're not enough. This episode is a reminder that you don't owe anyone a different version of you. Let's get into the things we are done apologizing for. I want to start by talking about this concept that women are always the ones that seem to have to shrink. And again, Wellish is not gender specific. So if you do identify as a gender other than woman, I think this is still important for you to hear. We should all be behaving from an equal playing ground. We should all be coming from this neutral space following the same set of rules. But obviously, society's not set up for us to do that. So it's nice for everybody to be in the know of where different people are coming from and how other people need to be showing up in their life on their path in order to best suit themselves. And when we're aware of other areas and other things that people need to do, it makes it a little bit easier to make sure that we're doing that neutral thing, that we're doing the thing that best serves us compared to the thing that is fit, that fits into our gender norm or society's typical expectation of us. So let's talk about first why women shrink. Women shrink because we've been taught that shrinking is what will make us lovable. If we fit into a specific category, if we fit into a specific box, that's what will make us be okay in the world. It will make us be accepted by the people around us. And in turn, we'll have a good life and people will accept us then. Picture like a 1950s housewife. Her husband just is the ruler of the house and she has to shut up and be quiet and keep to herself and let him do his thing so that they can all be peaceful and happy. And that's just not the expectation anymore. And I think a lot of the time men are so hardwired in that way of thinking because it's been the way of thinking for so long that nowadays, now that women don't need men to survive anymore, because a lot of the time we would shrink for that reason, we would stay quiet because if you spoke up and he left you, you had nothing. You had no ability to get an apartment. You couldn't get your own credit card. You know, there's all of these ways that like you would be screwed financially because you haven't had a job. You were the homemaker. So you had to stay quiet, where now women can fully function and survive on their own. And we don't need men to survive. We want them in our lives, but we don't need them to survive. And I think there's a complex that comes with that. But that messaging is still there, that we have to shrink in order to be lovable. We have to shrink in order to be what someone else wants us to be. We shrink our boundaries to seem like chill, like I'm that cool, low maintenance girl that doesn't care what you do. We shrink our voices to avoid being too much. Like I can think of myself out in public. And I mean, so many people have called me aggressive because I'm loud and I swear and I will say what's on my mind. And people like don't know what to do with that. They like get like, whoa, like you're saying way too much. You're telling the truth way too much. You're being way too honest for what makes us comfortable. We shrink our standards so we don't get labeled as high maintenance or crazy, because that is such a label that gets slapped onto us constantly. You know, if you ask for too many things, if you have too many needs, have expectations, and when somebody doesn't meet those expectations, you get upset or you get angry, you're crazy or you're high maintenance or you want too much. When relationships break, we are the ones that do the healing. We go to therapy, we journal, we do the introspection. We pick apart the relationship and the breakup and say, what things went wrong? Where did I not see specific things? Why is this good for me? What can I do better the next time? What red flags should I have looked for that I can look for in the future? While men often get this free pass. Like it's just, that's just how men are. Men like to distract themselves and not look things in the face. He's not good at feelings. He's not emotionally available. He doesn't know how to communicate. It's just excuse after excuse after excuse for them. But for us, we always are jumping on this fix-it wagon because we want to feel better. And I'm not saying men don't do that. You know, I don't want to talk in absolutes. I'm not saying this is all men, all women, no men, no women. But I think that there is this construct to what's common for each gender. And we all like know it's bullshit, but like, it's just like, it is what it is. Like, because you can only control yourself. You can't do anything about what somebody else does. So we just like accept it. And it's bullshit, you know? And like I said, we can't control what other people do, but I think it's good for us as women to be aware that what you're doing, like you doing the right thing by healing or by setting expectations, by having boundaries, like that you are not doing anything wrong, which is exactly why you shouldn't shrink, because you are doing what's right for you. You're doing the good thing. According to recent studies, women are twice as likely as men to seek mental health support after a breakup, and 70% of divorces are initiated by women. Why? Because we're the ones that are the emotional glue. And when the glue stops sticking, we're the one doing the work to figure out why. And here's where I want to pause, because when I was doing the research for this episode and I saw that 70% of women are the ones that make the move to leave because we're the emotional glue, I felt a little triggered by that because I wasn't the one that left in my situation when my engagement ended. He did. He's the one who dropped the bomb and just walked away. So I couldn't help but ask myself, was I not brave enough? Like, was I not in tune enough with those women that did see a problem and were able to walk away? And that scares me because I know that I would have married him. I know I wouldn't have left that situation. But now I see the truth. I was aware. I did see the cracks. I just loved him anyways. I stayed because I was willing to fight for what we had, because I believed we did things as a team, because I was willing to grow with him, and I thought he was too. He told me that my honesty made him feel like he wasn't enough, and like my strength made him feel emasculated. In more or less words, he applied that my level of directness with him throughout the relationship with him was too much. And so naturally, you know, in my wound of not being enough, I couldn't help but question, like, should I have said less? Should I have been softer? Should I not have been so aggressive in my approach? But when I look back, you know, I only have that thought for a brief second because I realize if I was to go back, I would do everything exactly the same. I was myself. I showed up authentically, I spoke my truth, and that's all that I can do. And if he can't meet me where my truth is, I don't want a love that only survives if I'm less of myself. My point in all of this is that even though I wasn't the one that initiated the ending, I was still the one doing the emotional lifting. So whether you're the person that initiated the ending of your relationship or you're the one that was left in the relationship, the truth still stands for either point of view. You're the one doing the emotional lifting and the other person cannot meet you where you're at. And even still, post-breakup, I'm the one sitting in the grief, facing the pain, choosing to heal. So either perspective that you're facing, and you could obviously face either one throughout your life, I'm done apologizing for being someone who feels deeply, for always being the glue, for always being the emotionally insightful one, the emotionally intelligent one, for being the one that stayed, and for being brave enough to move forward alone. So let's get into this list of things that I am done apologizing for, and you should be too. My first one is I'm done apologizing for the amount of time needed to heal. A lot of the time people will tell you that you just have to feel through it. No matter what it is that you're going through, they have to say you just have to feel through it. But just feeling through it is not tools. It's not the tool to help make you feel better. It's you processing it. And you're going to process it in your own way, at your own pace. I'm no longer apologizing for how deeply I feel. I think a lot of the time I was told that I was too sensitive or too emotional or too empathetic, that if I just cared less about what other people thought, if I didn't put so much power into other people's hands, that I would be happier. And while that's true, I don't think that also equates to feeling less deep. You can feel deeply from a detached perspective if you learn how to not need the other people to respond in a certain way in order for you to be happy, and you just feel deeply because you know that that's the type of person you are, you'll be able to feel deeply without needing other people to act in the way that you need them to act to validate your deep feelings. I'm no longer apologizing for my unwavering loyalty. This is one that I have been made to really, really, really feel like I need to apologize for, because I will be loyal to a fault. I will see people for their bigger picture, for their potential, for who I believe they are in their heart. And so I stay loyal to them because I want to support them. And to be honest, probably because I want somebody to be that loyal to me and to love me enough to not leave and to stick around for me long term. And I don't want to not be that kind of person. I don't want to be the kind of person that would just discard somebody. I don't want to be the kind of person that would cheat on somebody. I don't want to be the kind of person that backstabs my friends. I don't want to be that. So in whatever way in my life that, you know, disloyalty has come up, I don't take that and say, okay, well, I should be less loyal because other people have been not loyal to me. I say, I want this so bad. I'm going to put that into the world. I'm going to put into the world unwavering loyalty and know and trust that one day it will come back for me. Because I think that is a really incredible characteristic for somebody to have. So why would I apologize for having it? I'm no longer apologizing for being the one to hold the emotional weight. Is it aggravating when people don't meet you there? Absolutely. But that doesn't mean that I shouldn't hold this emotional weight because that's who I am and that's what's important to me. I'm no longer apologizing for not settling because a lot of the time I felt like I was a bad person for moving away from a person that didn't make me feel good. And again, I'm not just talking about romantic relationships. I'm talking about any kind of relationship, whether it be with a friend or a family member or a romantic partner. I'm talking about not settling for somebody else's behavior that you don't want in your life, somebody else's energy that you don't want in your life. I've had friends that I've separated from because they didn't serve me. They made me feel worse. They didn't make me feel good after I left the hangout. And did they do something specifically wrong? Are they a bad person? No, but it's just not, it wasn't a good match for me. And I am no longer apologizing for not settling in these relationships that I have. I am going to be better at being more picky about who I spend my time with and choosing people carefully so that I have quality people in my circle. I'm no longer apologizing for holding people accountable. If I hold somebody accountable and they can't face that accountability and they are uncomfortable and they don't like it and they don't want to be around me because I've made them feel that they have to take accountability, bye. Like, that's fine. Like, I'm holding you accountable because I'm probably setting a boundary. I'm probably saying, I love you so much and I want you in my life. And I can't let this behavior happen around me. And let's be honest, it's not like we're holding people accountable for like stupid reasons. We are reasonable people that are holding people accountable for reasonable reasons. And if they can't meet you there, then they're not meant to be in your life. I'm no longer apologizing for speaking my mind. I have been made to feel by several people in the past that I am being too much. I'm being too loud. I'm too outspoken. I'm saying the things that you shouldn't say out loud so that everything can just run smoothly and be okay and not ruffle any feathers, make everybody feel comfortable. And if something makes me uncomfortable, I'm not going to stay quiet about it, especially if it's something that I'm being disrespected or people I love are being disrespected. Again, this, I feel like I have to continue to disclaim, but everything that I'm saying, it's not like we're doing this for unreasonable reasons. It's not like I'm saying you're speaking your mind and you're being a dick to people. You're not calling people out for, you know, having a bad outfit or for the kind of people that they choose to date. You know, I'm saying we're talking about things that, you know, are truthfully something that we don't want to tolerate in our life. And we're going to speak up about it. Or I'm going to speak up about my values. I'm going to speak up about things that are important to me. And just because you don't agree with those things doesn't mean that I should quiet myself, especially when it's things that you think do need change and that are important. And there is not going to be any change that happens if you don't speak your mind. I'm no longer apologizing for trusting my gut, even when no one else understands it, because so much of the time I will have a gut feeling and I will let people talk me out of that gut feeling. I will look to logic compared to just trusting my intuition. I listen to the intuition and then, or I hear the intuition, I should say, and then I don't listen to it because I find every other logical excuse why that might not be the truth. And I don't need anybody to validate my gut feeling. I will know if my gut feeling is wrong, and that will come up and come to light in the way that it's meant to. And I trust that process as well. But I'm not going to let other people convince me that my gut is wrong, or at least I'm not going to need other people to validate what I'm feeling in my gut in order to actually believe my intuition, what my intuition is telling me. I'm no longer apologizing for expecting reciprocity. I think that there's this idea that people are different. People bring different things to the table. And so we, you know, like that's the idea of interdependence, and interdependence is good. And that's what you should have in a relationship, you know, that one person brings these strengths, this other person brings these strengths. And so you can balance each other out in that way. But I think that that gets confused with reciprocity. When you express love, the other person should express it back. Where the interdependence comes into play is that one person might express love differently than the other person, but you're both expressing love. That's where reciprocity is. It can look different, but I'm no longer apologizing for one doing it at a lesser scale than the other. I think a common place for that to come up is romantic relationships, but really, honestly, a big one that I've experienced that in is friendships. I'm no longer apologizing for ordering takeout when I'm sad, because I have ordered out, I've Uber Eats to my house every single day for the last week. This last week was not a good week for me. I was not feeling really great. And today I feel good. That's why I'm recording today. But I literally ordered takeout. I didn't today because today I feel better, but I was literally ordering takeout every single day. And I just want to say, if you're going through something, if you know your energy is going to another space, that you don't have the energy to like plan, cook, make yourself a meal, it's fine. Just do it. Money comes and money goes. It will be okay. You are taking care of yourself and feeling temporary happiness anywhere that you can, even if it's just like Taco Bell for lunch. I'm no longer apologizing for posting things that are real instead of aesthetic. I love the aesthetic, okay? I love going online and seeing aesthetic, and I think it looks polished and pretty and great. And, you know, I try to emulate it to some extent, but I'm done beating myself up for not looking like every influencer that has the perfect page, or for posting things in general that aren't what, you know, the top influencers do. If you're bored and you want to post a silly little TikTok, just do it. Who cares? It's not that serious. And it's the way our world works now. Like, I'm sick of like this idea of like people being like, go out there and live and do that. You should. I mean, those are real things. But like, also a part of living is maybe posting the silly little TikTok and not apologizing for you just like showing up and being authentic and being real on the internet, if that's something that you want to do, and it not being the most, you know, influencer looking type of thing. I'm no longer apologizing for needing space from somebody that drains me. I would make excuses to be around those type of people for two reasons. One, because I almost liked the drama. I always wanted to, it was like a control thing. Like, I wanted to know that I was in control of the situation by knowing everything that they said and being around them and being able to like say my piece when I was around them and change their opinion of me or whatever. And I think the other piece of it is that I didn't want to let down other people around me that was most likely the reason the person was in my life. And so I would do the things that I had to do in order to make other people feel comfortable so that that person could be around, instead of saying to myself, you know, I'm going to set this boundary. I don't want to be around this person. And I'm not going to feel bad for not wanting to be around somebody that literally drains me like no other. I'm no longer apologizing for missing the people that I outgrew. I've had multiple people in my life, romantic and friendships, that I outgrew them. And it makes me sad that we're not friends anymore. It makes me sad that we're not connected. There's been times that I want to reach out, but I know the truth is that we're just not in that same space. We're not connected anymore. There was a season for us. We were meant to be in each other's lives for a period of time, but that doesn't mean that we were meant to be in each other's lives forever. And that doesn't take away from the value of the relationship that we did have, and that it's okay to miss a person that you outgrew and not feel that that means that you have to develop a relationship with them again. I'm no longer apologizing for turning my pain into art, okay? I'm posting on TikTok. You guys have been loving my healing video TikToks. I'm obviously publishing here on Wellish and using my experience to your benefit. I'm not apologizing for that. You know, at first, you know, it feels like wrong. It feels like I don't want to draw attention to myself. I don't want to cause any issues. I don't want to hurt anybody else. That's not my intention at all. And I almost feel like, should I be embarrassed by my pain and my heartbreak and hide and keep it private and not let anybody see so that people don't have access to me? But this makes me feel good. Like, making content makes me feel good. And the goal is to do absolutely anything that we can in order to make us feel good. And so I'm not apologizing for turning my pain into something beautiful. I'm no longer apologizing for wanting big love and bigger peace. I think a lot of the things that we listen to talk about a person coming into your life, like a romantic partner coming into your life, and them just enhancing your life. And that is the biggest truth. Like, it is so true that we cannot rely on other people for our happiness. So I think I got myself to the space that I was almost disappointed that I can't rely on another person and just like have this cocoon of love and peace being with somebody, because at any point, somebody could leave you, and that you can't control what other people do. I mean, even if they don't leave, they could get hit by a bus, you know, and that life could be over, and you can't put all your eggs in one basket. And that is so true. But I'm not apologizing for wanting big love and big peace that I can lean into and trust in and feel is safety and happiness. I do also have to find safety and happiness in myself for the most part, but that doesn't mean that you can't lean into a big love and find really big peace in other people too. And my last one is, I am no longer apologizing for outgrowing the version of me that wanted to keep the peace. I still feel this one to my core. I want peace. I don't like confrontation. I want everything to just be happy and good and cushy, but who the hell doesn't? Who doesn't want that? So I am no longer going to apologize for letting that go. Understanding that outgrowing the version of me that kept the peace doesn't mean not having peace in my life. It means having peace by cutting ties with people that bring chaos into my life. It means setting my life up in a way that has as little mess, as little chaos as possible. And being able to do the hard things that are less peaceful in order to contribute to the long-term overall good, big peace. Let's talk about that feeling when someone makes you feel like you are too much, too emotional, too sensitive, too intense, too opinionated, and that therefore that makes you feel like you're not enough. Here's the truth. The people that make you feel like you're too much are typically the ones giving the bare minimum. When someone can't meet you where you're at emotionally, mentally, spiritually, they will probably subconsciously, like, this is the thing that I'm learning a lot, is that a lot of this is not conscious. They're not consciously doing it, but subconsciously, potentially or consciously, who knows, they start to chip away at who you are to make themselves feel more comfortable. They'll label your strength as intimidating. They'll call your clarity controlling. They'll frame your self-expression as a threat to them. Not because you're actually too much, but because you see them and you see situations clearly, and that makes them uncomfortable. And here's the tactic. Here's why they're doing it. If they can make you question your enoughness, you will shrink just enough to accept their not enoughness. You'll settle. You'll silence yourself. You'll stay. But the good news is you are here right now in this moment. And that means that you are at least thinking about being done with that. So I need you to start to build this habit inside of your mind. You don't have to do anything out in the physical right now, but I want you to start to build this habit of noticing every single time you question yourself. This can be for major things and more innocent things, but start again, just in your head, start to question them. Again, we're building the habit. So first, you're going to have to really build the habit of noticing when you're doing this to yourself, when you're questioning yourself. But if you can start to notice that, when you do, start questioning the other person. Who benefits when you doubt your power? Who gets to stay close when you keep your standards low? Who only feels safe around you when you're small? If it takes you being less for them to stay, they were never staying for the right reasons anyway. As sad and aggravating and as disappointing as that is, it's the truth. You're not too much. You're just finally starting to ask for the bare minimum back. Okay, friends, that is it for today. Just a reminder, in true Wellish spirit, you do not have to be 100% healed, 100% confident, 100% happy, 100% anything in order to start implementing this. You just need to stop handing your power over to people who don't know what to do with it. If that makes someone pull away, let them. If that makes someone uncomfortable, good. The version of you that's coming out of this, she doesn't play small and she doesn't explain herself to anybody. If this episode hit something in you, it resonated for you, please make sure to share it with a friend. And if you have something on your I'm No Longer Apologizing list, DM it to me. I would love to hear it and potentially add it to my own list. Also, make sure to rate and review the show. It really helps keep the show going. Of course, subscribe to the show as well. It helps me know what you guys want to hear and that you're really enjoying the content. For anything lifestyle, you can follow my Instagram at sarah.rittendale, and then you can follow Wellish on both TikTok and Instagram at Wellish Podcast for all of your Wellish advice and tips. And just in case nobody's told you today, you are not too much and you are exactly where you are supposed to be, doing exactly what you're supposed to do. I love you very much, and I will talk to you next week.